I'm Duncan McLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm in Sandton in Johannesburg today to talk to Alex Dumin, MD of the Huawei Enterprise Group in South Africa, and to Fred Simon, Pinnacle's Huawei Business Unit Executive. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Duncan.
So this is the first of three podcasts we're doing with Huawei and Pinnacle, and I thought a great place to start would be to have a broader discussion on Huawei as an enterprise brand and the strategy around it. Alex, maybe I can start with you. I think everyone knows Huawei because of its strong and growing presence in the consumer electronics market. The company has recently displaced Apple to become the second largest smartphone maker in the world, and I have no doubt it has designs on the number one position. Everyone is, of course, familiar with Huawei's routers and modems and even notebook computers. Some people, especially those listening to this podcast, will no doubt be aware that Huawei is also a big player in the telecommunications equipment market and that you supply a lot of the equipment that powers South African operators' networks. But there's a lot more to Huawei than that. Before we zoom into the enterprise group specifically, I think it would be very useful to gain an insight into how Huawei is structured as a business, its various business units, and how it goes to market in South Africa with all of its solutions. I believe there are three business groups in total.
Now we got a fourth.
A fourth.
The public cloud, which you were quickly heard from the Cape Town.
Yes.
Next week.
At AfricaCom.
Have a big announcement.
Yes.
In South Africa.
You're launching public cloud services, building a data center, I believe.
Yeah. So we upgrade that to the as a fourth business unit. Actually, it's the equivalent to the other three business group. So it's a company level strategy. So the South Africa will be one of the top three being announced to have the physical cloud, public cloud data center in South Africa.
Yeah.
Not claimed, you have the service.
Yeah.
So we make sure that the data, everything being hosted in the continent, in South Africa, in the country. Yes. So it's four now.
Four. Yeah. Okay. Mm. So yeah, that cloud announcement was interesting. Announced just yesterday, I think the media release went out. Are you structured similarly in all the markets in which you operate, or is the South African operation unique in this respect, or is it structured the same
way? It's not unique, but South Africa will be the pioneer, one of the pioneer
in cloud,
in the cloud, the public cloud. So you may see all the players is very focused on South Africa, but Huawei also do the same.
Yes.
The only difference is when we try to play in this room, we're going to launch it physically in the country. So make sure the data is not going out of the boundary. It's securely hosted inside the country. That's the difference.
And it's going to target countries, I believe, in sub-Saharan Africa.
So,
Alex, Huawei's rise has been quite spectacular in recent years. It really has made amazing strides on the global stage, including here in South Africa. How have you had to adopt your strategies and go-to-market approaches as you've increasingly become a global organization?
So, firstly, maybe I would like to trace it back to 30 years ago, when the company is founded. So Huawei is founded in 1987, which is this year's 31st year. So the company started from like a retail business, similar as Pinnacle was doing today. It was funded by around $20,000. At that time it's $2,000. It's a 21,000 China yuan at that moment. So and then the company started to say the technology is quite dominant by just several technology suppliers. The leading players a lot of time like Motorola, Nortel, Alcatel, Lucent. Those names maybe you don't heard, you don't hear in the last 5 or 10 years. It's fading out from the market. But that time they were quite strong and dominant in the market. So Huawei decided, our founder, CEO, decided to have the self-research and developed technologies to make sure the market is in more competition. And of course, because of lack of competition, is a big opportunity for the new players as well. So from that time, the company focused on telecommunications, started from the fixed network, which we start from a digital telephone calls, which is fixed line. And that time we really started our own technology and solutions. So, and then we get into the mobile, get into the fiber optics, get into the IT software. So, and finally we become a three business group before the public cloud is join us as the fourth one. So, like you said at the beginning, so everybody knows Huawei about our smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
And if going back 5 or 10 years ago, before we really focus on the smartphones, it's dongles, routers. So that's how the image is about Huawei.
Yeah, that's certainly how it got established in the South African market. It's the Huawei brand was on those little Wi-Fi routers that
we actually started more than that.
Yeah.
So, but Huawei is because our business nature is more business B2B.
Mm-hmm.
From the major part of the business and the traditional is the telecom. So it's not so necessary to go to the public to put a billboard there, to do the advertisement, to do the radio broadcast, to do the TV advertisement. It's not really necessary to do that. So it's the most important is how much value, the real value from the technology, from the innovation, from the solution itself, from the service as well. How can you deliver the value to the extra value to the customer? So that's it. So you don't have to go to the public to say, okay, what we are doing now. So in the last 20 years almost, so this year we're going to have, or early next year, we're going to have a 20 years anniversary celebration in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already 20 years.
Wow.
20 years. And myself, personally, I've been here for 11 years and 1 month now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm half South African, actually. So if you look back to the to the market, in specifically in South Africa and Africa, 20 years ago, when our first team arrived in South Africa, we found out that this is a of course it's a very beautiful country and with a lot of potential. And from the other hand, is the lack of infrastructure, too much cost in terms of the technologies. And stop the people of this continent and this country to enjoy the better service like the other part of the world. So we found out this very huge potential for us, for Huawei.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that time, Huawei is very dedicated in this market and invest a lot into our team and also local partners to make sure we are we have enough support to the customer in this continent. At the first 10 years, actually, we don't really have too much business. The people talk about Huawei is, it's even worse than today. They talk about, they don't know Huawei at all, actually. So they think it's a Chinese company was selling clothes. Most in the image, in the Western media,
yeah.
The media, the images of Chinese companies are selling plastic commodities, clothing, shoes, this kind of the furniture. But actually, it's very difficult for us to tell, okay, it's a Chinese company leading in the global telecommunication market. So we need to engage with the South African industry a lot, but it's quite difficult.
Mm-hmm.
South African is a very brand loyalty market. The people are using BlackBerry until the last year, together with Canadians. If I can use this as an example, I always use this as an example. It's quite a surprise.
Yeah.
So, which is good and bad. Good is good side is if you win this market, you will have a very long term partnership with the local partners and customers.
Mm.
If you cannot, that means you are not good enough. So for the newcomer, it's very challengeable.
Mm.
So, but Huawei is, like I said, so we never said we want a business from the market in 6 months or 12 months or 18 months, even 3, 4, 5 years after. We have only very small orders from some customer who is interesting and curious,
mm-hmm.
with curious about Huawei. And then just because of those small lights, and become a big fire, and lighting up the whole market. It's happening anywhere in the world, the same. In Europe, the same. In the other part of Africa, Middle East, all the same. And by the first trial, POC, step by step, the market realized Huawei is very strong in its innovation, technology, and solutions. And also the service, quality of the service. And then around 2007, 2008, the major players in the telecommunications started to massively deploy Huawei after they realized that Huawei is very strong in this field. So started from MTN, Telcom, Vodacom, and Cell C, almost a similar one, 2 or 3 years.
Was it a very quick shift over?
Very quick. Just around the 2 or 3 years, around 2007, 2008. Mm. So all of the major players choose Huawei as a strategic level partner and major supplier in the technology infrastructures. And also, which we feel very happy is during this, it's more than our revenue or what we got as the longest staying people in South Africa, Huawei staff. Okay, the proud thing for us is we trust. And we believe in, also we believed in the beginning is, we said it's a big, we are helping the country and continent from somehow to have a reasonable one side. Some people say cheap at the early times, but we would say we are reasonable in costing, and same time with very leading in the innovation and solution itself. So we help the country and also the other part of the continent to increase the penetration of the mobile and fixed a lot, the network a lot. So if we think about that time when I joined South Africa team is around 2006, 2007, the penetration rate is around 70%, if I'm correct.
In mobile,
mm-hmm. And that's also including some people have two SIM cards, and currently the penetration rate is over 150.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll double check that number again. Okay, but recently we have discussed that, and the cost being to the customer, to our customer, and also to their customers, which is us. From the voice call and to the data call, I think it's reduced till now, reduced 70-80% off. I think it's 70-80% already taken off.
Mm.
The data and the voice is getting more affordable. Of course, the people still are talking about the data mass 4, right? I think it's some other structured cost that I think still need to be improved or... I think that's leave us also more imagination for the future innovation and upgrading the business model in the market. So that's what we're proud of. And if you look at the other countries, like the first country I joined, I attend in the markets 2005 in DRC.
Oh yes,
Democratic Republic of Congo. The penetration is around single digit or just close to 10. And now it's 45-50% of the penetration. And also Huawei is a major and supply for the infrastructures. So that is we always, when the old Africans, we call our old Africans in the Huawei community, the most proud of the thing we are prouder of is we are really helping reshaping the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how our carrier business group started from. So it's from a very long time, quiet response from no response from market, but we very focused in on what we were doing. So we never give up until the customer see the value from Huawei. So
that's only the impression I have of Huawei of a company that identifies a market it wants to go into and puts its head down and just keeps pushing and pushing and pushing until it wins.
It's a very correct. It's a very 100% right way to describe how we focus on what we do in the markets, and also the same in R&D. In every this kind of let's say not culture, part of our culture is it exists in every corner of Huawei. So from R&D to marketing to service team to the partner engagement. So when we identify the markets or targets, let's say when we identify a target, we just keep our heads down and keep focus on one spot. Mm-hmm. So our founder CEO always said, we have the confidence Huawei will succeed once we identify one single spot as a target. The whole company will use all our force to work on that. So it's a one direction, one strategy, and everybody will be dedicated on that. So with that kind of culture from Huawei, we have a confidence we will finally release all the power, and also to share our value, the added value to our customer as well.
So we're sitting here in the Huawei office park in Woodmead in Sandton. Mm. Very impressive. How many people work for the Huawei South Africa organization now?
So currently, this campus, we have the regional headquarters and the Huawei South African office, both working here. It's around 1,200 people, mm-hmm. Staff working in the campus, around 60%. More than 60% South Africans, local staff, and some regional headquarters, Chinese experts from as the expertise, and the part of the management is Chinese. So I think the important thing is for this campus is we used to rent our office everywhere. Okay, so the reason for us to get this campus, the facility done last year is we appreciate the markets recognize Huawei's efforts and also give us lots of opportunities. I think it's the recent years it's not very stable in the economy. Mm. So from Huawei side, we have a strong confidence in this country. In the future of this country. So we also want to show our customers, our partners, and also our staff in South Africa. We show them also our confidence. So to sustainably invest in South Africa. So we don't rent here. This is Huawei owned our own assets. So we invest around 1 billion rand into this campus.
A billion rand.
So it's going to increasing. So including when we have our different labs. We have two labs also will be seated here.
So you're doing some R&D work in South Africa as well?
It's co-innovation, mm-hmm. Let's call it this way. A little part of the R&D, but most of it's co-innovation. So we have the open lab and the joint validation lab in South Africa. We also invest a lot in this part. The reason for that is we want, because now it's a digital transformation, it's very important for every industry of the world and also as well as in South Africa. Mm-hmm. So the technology is not simply just deployed and collected and put the plug onto the wall and light it up and then it can run. So it will request a lot of different parties to be involved and cooperate to make the digital transformation work. So those two labs, we have some targets. The first target is working with the local partners and the customers to explore their ideas, more innovative ideas, and then how to convert that ideas into reality, into a solution, and to finally resolve their business concerns and to help them to improve the efficiency and also the service quality to their customers. So there we need some platform to bridge all these capabilities together. So the lab, the first target is to convert ideas into solutions. So it's not only Huawei will be playing the lab, also including the different parties from our side. So who is going to build the platform is a cost. So that's a part of our strategy as well. So we, as Huawei, we would like to invest. The second target is that we build these two labs is also for helping the customer to fast track the understanding of Huawei's solutions, especially in the new markets like our enterprise business group. As enterprise business group, is customer knows Huawei also from 5 years ago, 3 years ago, even 3 years ago. They still think we are coming to sell the smartphones. Not dongles, but they're talking about smartphone now. Mm-hmm. Okay, because smartphone, we have a quite big market share in South Africa now.
Yeah.
So are you coming for the smartphones? So we don't want to use another 10 years or 12 years to make the market, like in the telecom side, mm-hmm. to start to realize Huawei's value, because it's, at this moment, it's not so necessary to take that long. Telecom, Huawei is already the major contributor to the country, to the market. And smartphone globally or South Africa, we are number two in the market. So from technology itself, the fundamental thing is we believe the chipset capability, algorithm, and architecture. So those three things is a fundamental thing of to show a company's capability, ICT company's capability. We had that accumulated in the last 30 years, good enough. And for the enterprise customers to introduce Huawei into their digital transformation journey, we believe it shouldn't take that long. But South Africa is, again, I say South Africa is different. It's an amazing land. It's also different. The people are very loyalty to what they learned before, mm-hmm. what they used before. Okay. If I put the other way, is very comfort in what they are doing now. So we need this from our side, we hope we can use those innovation labs and the validation labs to help our customers, partners, before you try Huawei, try to introduce Huawei, you don't have to just listen to our sales talk, mm-hmm. presentations. You can also come and join us to play here, to physically touch all the solutions, to understand it, to feel it, how easy it can be introduced, and how much new ideas and innovations been brought by Huawei through our R&D capabilities. So it's also the second reason to fast track the understanding from the market, to see our value. Yeah. So this is two major purposes. If we're talking about the third one, which we decided to introduce some new programs to leverage these two labs to develop the local skills. So use these two labs. It's a very flexible, open environment so that our customers and partners, their staff, and also some youngsters from the university we cooperated. So they can join us to skill up themselves from those labs. So we're going to have some expertise work and interact with them as well. So for the long term, more meaningful thing is about how to skill up the local talents, the top talents, with give them an environment free of charge. Mm-hmm. So they can come and play with a proper application process and then to join us with our expertise to work together and improve themselves.
Fred, let me bring you in here. Now, Huawei has partnered with Pinnacle, which acts as a value-added distributor for the Huawei Enterprise Group. Take me through exactly what a value-added distributor does as opposed to a standard distributor.
Thank you. Thanks for that question, Duncan. If you look at historically what distributors did out there is that they were good with logistics, i.e. typically bringing a product in, and delivering it to a customer or to a partner in terms of getting the product out. So with that, there's been changes recently over the last 2 to 3 years where distributors realize that they've got to actually become involved from a value add distribution perspective, because the box dropping days are pretty much over.
So what, very low margin.
Very low margin. So what we've realized plus minus 3 to 4 years ago, and that's a strategic drive that we've implemented in a company in Pinnacle, we were looking for enterprise partners. Fortunately for us, Huawei, we're also looking for enterprise distributors on the enterprise product sets. And it was basically a marriage that was good for both parties. Now, from a value-add proposition perspective, where we are differentiating ourselves from a distribution side, we've actually gone into a lot of certification. We believe to add value in terms of your enterprise environment, you need to have your salespeople certified. So you tend to find that all of our salespeople throughout the country, each and every region and branch that we have, had to undergo intense sales certification training on the Huawei products and solutions. What we've also done is to focus on a lot of pre-sales capability and also post-sales capability. So over the last 2 years, although our relationship started towards the end of 2015, but over the last 2 years, we've intensified our skills and development and training of our internal staff from a technical perspective to a sales perspective. Now, one of the fortunate aspects from a Huawei relationship is they actually embrace that. Whereas some of the other vendors out there, and we will not call any names or name any of them, typically do not want partners to get into a post-sales environment. Mm-hmm. Whereas Huawei realized that that's a differentiating factor for partners and distributors out there, that you can actually sell the solution, bring it in cost-effectively, assist with the solution design, assist with the implementation, and then also do the post-sales maintenance afterwards. And they're embracing it with their partner structure. Their channel policy allows for that, where a lot of other vendors, it's extremely difficult for you to become a service partner of Huawei. Mm. Whereas Huawei actually embraced that, and they're supporting us from distribution doing that as well. So we actually, in the end, what we now from Pinnacle's perspective, from a value-add distributor perspective, can do, we can sign up resellers. We will assist and train those resellers. We will assist them with pre-sales where we can do the solution design. We've got solutions architects that can actually help with the solution. We can obviously source it. We can deliver it. We can assist the partners at an end customer level with the installation, the commissioning, the implementation. And then we also assist the partners in the end with post-maintenance support, where the customer actually is then gets owned by the actual partner because they provide an end-to-end solution.
Alex, what's your thinking around this go-to-market strategy, working through partners on a value-added distribution basis?
So it's firstly the go-to-market with the partner, through the partner, is our company strategy in the enterprise business group.
Yeah.
So if you don't go with the partners, that's the exception in Huawei.
Mm-hmm.
You need to explain your special reasons. So go-to-market with the partner is our requirements.
Yeah.
To all the different markets. So, and when we talk about this strategy, it's quite a good value for Huawei as well, for our partners and Huawei, also for the market. So enterprise market is quite different from our service provider, the carrier business group. So each country, there's just 3 or 4, no more than 5 normally, the major players in the telecom. So, and they are building most of them are building the nationwide infrastructure. So it's quite easy for Huawei to service those customers as a customer directly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all volume based. And also they are planned very well just within the 3 to 5 customers. So quite easy for us to provide the service. But if you go to enterprise markets, so tens of thousands of customers. In South Africa, we have a number, it's close to 800,000 organizations, which we call this from the large enterprise to the small SMEs, small and medium-sized enterprise. And also if we count into the public sector, the government organizations, which also they are very keen on the digital transformation to provide the better service to its people. So it's lots of entities. it's not possible. Firstly, it's not possible for Huawei to provide a service or engage with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and the partner in South Africa give us a lot of support to extend our service, to extend our brand into every corner of the country. And in South Africa, we feel very lucky. This market is very channel-based.
Mm-hmm.
The local system integrators and the distributors like Pinnacle, their business is very mature and they are very capable. So at the early days, when I report to the company, the headquarters, or the other business people in the industries, they can't believe in South Africa we have the partner, very developed partner market. They all believe maybe you have to go direct to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
So when I report to them and introduce them, they can't believe. And I introduce them back to South Africa. Okay, come, have a look. And then they engage with our partners like Pinnacle,
mm-hmm.
Like all the major players and our channel partners, retail partners. They feel very surprised. And then I start to joke with them. How do you think the Elon Musk was born in South Africa? It's a magic land. It's not Africa. So just use this joke, and actually I think it's a very special market, and it's in total there are more than 20,000 very capable ICT related partners, software or hardware.
Mm-hmm.
So, and most of the companies, they are very compatible, even in the regional market or the global market. So they have their business across the continent, and also even some business outside the continent. So Pinnacle is one of them. So that gives us a lot of advantage to get into this market quickly. We don't have to wait and lock the door one by one. Even we send all our 1,200 people outside just do the enterprise business, it's far less than enough.
Mm-hmm.
So partner give us a very good foundation. So we really are leverage the value from the partnership. So for this strategy, we will never change. Go with the partners.
So Fred, how long has this partnership been running for now, and how much work did you have to do to gear up for it?
Duncan, we signed up towards the end of 2015. I think it was around about October, November 2015.
Mm.
Obviously, with like a marriage, you first have to actually understand one another and actually partner and understand how the structures work and how the channel policies work, which took us a few months to figure out. But then thereafter, the fast tracking became quite necessary for us in our business, and from a top-down approach, i.e. from senior management all the way at grassroots level, from a technical perspective, people actually embraced and understood that this is actually an enterprise distributor that we need to focus in terms of training and transitioning into the value-add proposition. We were very fortunate that Huawei has also been very patient with us, and mm-hmm. it's more than just a distribution agreement, it's a partnership. And I can honestly say that when times are bad, when times are good, we celebrate together, and they're actually there to support us. So all along, from the moment that we've signed up as a distributor, they've really pretty much been there to support us and to help us and to guide us through this transition into a value-add distribution space. We're sitting with a situation where all of our technical staff that are now sitting regionally in our branch offices, they're all undergoing certification. So each and every one of our branches out there has got some type of Huawei capability. Now, the Huawei enterprise range, and we haven't spoken about the product portfolio really, but it's the most extensive portfolio that you can find from any other vendor out there. From your traditional IT server storage solutions, data center solutions, to your IP, which is your wider networking product set, your firewalls, your access points, your access routers, to network energy, container data centers, UPSs, solar PV inverters, to IP product sets in the sense of, unified communication. brilliant video conferencing solutions, as well as intelligent video surveillance products. So it's a very extensive range of products, and you have to focus on where you can start certifying. So we started with the basics, and we'll grade across the full product set eventually. We've got about 55 technical people throughout the country that have been certified. We've got over 150 salespeople that have been certified on the Huawei solutions, so that we can actually add value when it comes from a sales perspective to the value add distribution, pre-sales solutions design, as well as the post-sales services side of it. I think something that Alex has not mentioned, he did mention about the R&D, but this is also brilliant from organization perspective, because we can see the investment that Huawei puts back in the products. Over 10% of the annual turnover goes back in R&D, and you can see it in the solutions. Over 80,000 R&D engineers that they employ just to keep the product sets new and bring new innovation into the business environment. So we're very excited with this relationship. We do believe that we are going to grow from a team perspective. In the next 5 years, my team will most probably quadruple in terms of size, because of us having to focus on a full enterprise range. And it's slowly, we've crawled, we're starting to walk, and I think soon we'll be running in terms of our capability. But right now, quite excited, because we've transitioned into a value-add service and a value-add distributor, and it's just being fast-tracked immensely at the moment.
So, Alex, Fred has just been saying that you have a vast product portfolio. In fact, I was having a look through Pinnacle's Huawei Enterprise Group booklet, a fat booklet. You probably knock someone out with it. It's so thick. But maybe in broad terms, Alex, take us through the kind of key industry verticals that you focus on. I know that you have a focus on smart cities, for example, but maybe in broad terms, just take us through some of the solutions that you offer on an industry by industry basis.
Yeah. So Huawei coming into the market is a little bit differently. We are selling the similar, like from technology itself, or from the box level, it's routers or switches. Unified communications, you're talking about surveillance, the cameras, you're talking about the cloud. So it's a similar from the single solution or the box level itself. But while we come into the enterprise, a little bit different is we focus from the day one, we focus on the digital transformation into different industries. We have some focused industries from at the moment. The first one is, like you said, is the smart cities. So part of the smart city, we started from the safe city. So smart city and safe city is currently the number one motivation from Huawei into the market, especially in South Africa. Mm-hmm. So, and we share very same vision on this with no matter from customers from the public sector, or from the industrial players who is around this smart city, safe city area. I trust the safety improvements of this country. It's a common sense of the problems, everybody understanding. It will help a lot into the international investment, the tourism, and also increase the confidence of its own people, the country's own people, to very dedicated and into the business activities. So it will help a lot from the cross-border. I think safety is a bottom line requirements from everyone living in this land. It's a beautiful land, so it must be safer. So that's where the number one focus. The second one is we are currently working very close with the transportation industries as well, like the Prasa Transnet, SAA, AXA, Imperial Logistics, those top companies in terms of transportation industry. So the third one is the energy, like Eskom, Sasol, and as well as some mining companies. Okay, so how to make the very traditional industry to rebirth with lots of more and more efficiency, and also to provide a better service to the people. and also the banking sector. The banking is now more and more recognized as a technology company.
Yes.
Okay. So the newer the service is based on mobile first, and then based on the virtual backend. Big data and artificial intelligence being step by step introduced. The blockchain are really hot topic now in the banking and the insurance company currently. So all of that is a request. It's rooted in the digital transformation strategy. So banking is finance sector.
Mm.
It's also the top industries we focus on. And the others, like the retail business, manufacturing, agriculture. So we were, along with our market activities, we're going to extend to that area as well. So
when you go into a company, a potential client, what is the conversation you're having? Are you talking IT strategy? Are you trying to help them understand the best ways that they can go through the process of digitalization and preparing themselves for the world that's coming? Is it more of a product discussion? What's the approach?
The approach is depends on different customers.
Mm-hmm.
And also depends on how long time we engaged. But at the beginning, for the new customers, normally we choose, it's our culture as well, we choose to listen first. It's not a standard business.
Mm-hmm.
Enterprise, the speciality is every organization is different. Every country is different. Every government is different. So it's not like the consumer business is every people is different. Mm-hmm. But every people have the similar requirements. But enterprise is really very diversified.
Yes.
So from that point of view is, we don't think it's, we don't use the same way as our understanding in the telecom sector. So in global wide, 80% of the demands from the telecom customers, no matter which country, similar.
Mm-hmm.
It's only late or earlier. It's all similar. So from their operation, their technology, from their people skill sets, all similar. But enterprise is different. So the first thing we do is normally we should understand the customer's business requirements, their business concerns. And we will find out where we can help them to address those concerns through the ICT investment, through the digital transformation. So the first thing we will engage, we will talk about to ask questions, try to listen to the customer. And then if you're talking about second step, I think it's normally we don't go to the box selling the products immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how to introduce Huawei, because you will not introduce a new player into your environment if you don't know the company properly.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell you some specifications, give some presentations, will not make you confident enough. I think the second step, normally we would like to introduce ourselves. So the engagement at the beginning is like understanding each other.
People buy from people.
People buy from people and also buy from the very fundamental reasons, which is, are you competent enough? So it's not about a presentation about some solutions.
Mm.
And then, of course, after in the following parties, we will talk about solutions. Once both sides understand each other, and we start to do that.
Yeah.
I think, Duncan, maybe just to add to that, the fortunate aspect, and if you listen to the philosophy that's being followed by Huawei, that actually helps us as distributors as well, because it's not a question of having to stock those boxes. It's actually about a solution and selling a solution, and that helps us in distribution quite a bit in terms of cash flow purposes and helping us in terms of not just bringing in stock in and sitting with stock traditionally like distributors have been doing, So the majority of the business is solution-based, and your ordering is also mostly around solution, which is quite positive for us as Pinnacle.
Yeah, so you're really reinventing yourselves more as a services type of business. So what is the split between?
So if you look at the split, with us traditionally focusing more on the box dropping, obviously that was 100%. However, over the last 2 years, just on Huawei alone, I would say that is now most probably about 90% still hardware and 10% services. However, as we continue down this road and we've also become a Huawei authorized service partner, I do believe within the next 2 years that model will change to most probably a 60-40, 60 being the tin and 40% being your services. And the services component will typically be your commissioning, installation, implementation, professional services as we grow our understanding of the brand, and then the maintenance portion of it as well.
Okay. Before we wrap up, Fred and Alex, feel free to jump in here, but what are you seeing as some of the pressure points for businesses in South Africa that Huawei is addressing? What are businesses telling you they need from you?
Well, from a distribution perspective, it's quite clear in terms of developing your SME market that they're under pressure from a cash flow perspective, from a financial perspective, and that's pretty much where we from Pinnacle also step in, where we can actually assist them with these type of solutions. Some of the customers that Alex mentioned previously, we've managed to actually secure business with SMMEs into those customer base without those SMMEs really having the financial availability of doing solutions. But that's where as Pinnacle have actually also stepped in to assist them with the financial transaction to ensure that we can actually go and they can play in that market. So I think in the reseller community, it's availability of cash and finances, which is still quite tough. Secondly, it's skills. SMEs, a lot of them are 1 to 6 man business owners, and they sometimes have it difficult in terms of getting all of the skills and have skills transfer. So that is also a pressure point for them, where we, from Pinnacle perspective, assist them with the solution, go in to the end customers to help them position the solution, and then for them to get skills transfer at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I would say the two aspects, financial affordability or financial availability, as well as the skills, is, I think, from a reseller perspective, challenges.
I think it's one thing I want to add. It's about, at the beginning, talk about the partnership, how we see the partnership. And currently we are around 1,000 partners, actively in our business to place orders. It's around close to 300. Just have a daily base running in our business. But one thing besides those numbers, which we care more, is about how visionary and the value, we share the same value with our partners. So Pinnacle is a very typical sample in our global market as well. So Fred introduced, we are engaged in 2015. I think he didn't know the forgot some of the histories. He knows it, but the histories like back into 2012 or 2013. So Pinnacle refused our proposal, but we appreciate that at that moment, and we didn't have enough engagement and to, like I said, introduce each other properly. So Pinnacle is a very professional company. So at that moment, I think because our engagement is not so comprehensive, and Pinnacle decided, okay, it's not the moment. So in 2015, I think the good thing is two teams started to sit together, and all the senior management teams sit together to have what I said, the introduction, proper introduction session. And at that moment, Pinnacle is one of the few companies said, I don't expect Huawei, you introduce how many business to us, because I'm DISTI. I'm trusting this brand, I'm trusting this company. We believe in Huawei will grow in this market and global-wide. So that's enough. So we will invest together with you. So that's a special, very special part of Pinnacle, professional, very visionary. So, and we decided in the following years, when Fred said Huawei is very dedicated to invest together with the Pinnacle, it's also rooted in the proper engagement at the beginning. We share the same vision. We understand each other. And we have belief in each other. And then from that, we can invest together. I think that's a very important part I must address here. And I appreciate a lot for the support from the Pinnacle. It's not about the short-term business. It's about a long-term strategy.
Gentlemen, thank you for your time. I think we'll leave it there. Alex Duman is MD of the Huawei Enterprise Group in South Africa, and Fred Simon is Huawei Business Unit Executive at Pinnacle. Thank you for talking to Tech Central today.
Okay. Thank you, Duncan.